Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for today and for the blessing that you have given us to see a week we have never seen before, but to also come together this evening to hear the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you be with our speaker, Brother Wiggins, tonight, that you help him, Lord, have a ready recollection of those things he has prepared. Give him the courage and the boldness he needs to be able to speak those truths as they is written in your inspired word, the Bible. Pray, Lord, there was a soul listening tonight whose heart is desiring to be tender to accept your precepts and to obey them so that they can become a child of your Son's kingdom. Pray, Lord, that at this time of much going on within our world today, we're thankful for the lighted path of your Son Jesus that is still able to save souls. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flona. We're very grateful tonight to have each and every person on the call, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm Brother Thomas Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We now encourage you to open your Bible and get your pen and paper out. Take notes of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. And make sure you pay particular attention to the things he talked about as it pertains to your soul salvation. Our speaker tonight is the person, Brother Austin Wiggins. Brother Austin Wiggins is the son of a Stephen Wiggins. Brother Wiggins, he preaches in St. Augustine, Texas. I'm from Hillfield, Texas, but we're from East Texas. I'm so glad to have Austin. I've been enjoying talking to him, and certainly have heard his father preach many times. And so thankful to have men who are raising up sons to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Austin has been preaching in the East Texas region for about 7 years. He's now currently the minister of the Bynoe Church of Christ in Bynoe, Texas. And we're so excited to have him on our call tonight. I know he's going to do a great job. To the action, please give your attention to him as he will come to us tonight, because we have given him a topic. Thus it is written, Brother Wiggins tonight will talk about, thus it is written, that there is a word from the Lord. Austin, tell us about that.
Thank you so much, Brother Brooks. I appreciate that heartfelt introduction. And I am coming to you from Vidor, Texas, with a message from the Word. A message from the Word. And I know that I speak with the blessings of the elders here at the Vidor Church of Christ when I extend my warm greeting to all of those that are listening here tonight over the phone. For those that are members of the church, we are simply setting forth here tonight, agreeing together, you and I, that we will present the truth and nothing but the truth. To those of you who are new, to those that are not members of the church, we pray humbly that you will listen to what we have to say, and that you will listen with open ears and with open minds and open hearts, and that you will appreciate that the things that we are to speak of here tonight come not from a source that is found here upon this earth, but the words that we speak here tonight come from the Father above. And before we get into our study here tonight, I wish to just touch upon a very basic and fundamental Bible principle that I know that you will appreciate as much as I. For it is God who possesses all authority on heaven and on earth. All authority resides within God, and it is He who is able to have this authority, because it is He and He alone that is the creator of all that we are and all that we know. The Bible opens in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse number 1, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And so we must observe here tonight that man, in turn, as a created being, created by God for a set purpose, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to be subservient to Him in every way. Perhaps the prophet Isaiah said it best in Isaiah chapter 45 and in verse number 12, when he records these words, "I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all their host." And indeed, we do not go very far within the Bible reading from Genesis chapter 1 until we come to passages like Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 16, when we read that the Lord commanded the man. The Lord formed the universe, he created man, and then the Lord placed a command upon the man. It is God's authority, and it is man's obligation to recognize this authority. God has always placed a responsibility upon man to heed his command. You remember that well-known verse, at least to some of us, occurring in John chapter 12 and in verse number 48. Jesus says, "The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." And so we notice that when God speaks, man is obligated to listen, to comply, and to obey. Man is never in a position to instruct God or to tell God what he will or what he will not do. God has given his word, and that word will be the standard by which we are judged, none other. And it is God and God alone that has formed it and has delivered it to mankind. And once we appreciate that, brethren, then the lesson here tonight will open up and we will be able to garner a new appreciation, hopefully, for an Old Testament passage. And the Old Testament passage that I have prepared for us tonight comes from the book of Jeremiah. I know we all have our Bibles with us, so I'm going to invite you to turn to the book of Jeremiah and notice with me chapter 37. How blessed we are that God in his wisdom and foreknowledge caused these events and the lives of those that have went before us to be written down and to be preserved for us, that we might garner spiritual truth from their pages. And so the Bible takes us to Jeremiah chapter 37. And I want you to appreciate fully what is going on here with the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah has been called, he has been commissioned, and he has been sent to the two southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin. For within Judah and Benjamin, the last two surviving tribes of the original 12 tribes, they exist, and yet they have continued down a road of rebelliousness to God. They're in rebellion. They do not care about God. They do not care about his authority. They do not care about his kingship, nor his status. They do not care that they are the creations of God. They live their lives from day to day, however, and they wish to do so. They live as if God doesn't even exist. And you'll notice there in Jeremiah chapter 37 and verse number 1 that a man by the name of Zedekiah is king. And I want you to appreciate here that Zedekiah is not only king, but he's the last king that will ever sit upon the throne over Judah and Benjamin. He is the last, the 20th king that Judah will have. And he, like most of the kings that went before him, are wicked. He is wicked to the core. He is fickle. He does not care about what God has to say. He only worries about self and what his people find to be popular. And Jeremiah is sent by God to deliver a message. And notice what the Bible has to say about the character of this king, Zedekiah. Notice with me verse number 2 as I read aloud. "But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah." He has ignored time and time again God's warning set forth by Jeremiah. And once again, Jeremiah finds himself sent to the king in the middle of Jerusalem in this period of turmoil and wickedness in Jewish history. And here's what he has to say. Notice verse number 6, and let's read a couple of verses. "Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Thus you shall say to the king of Judah who sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come up to help you, will return to Egypt to their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying the Chaldeans will surely depart from us, for they will not depart. God had promised that he would rise up the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, to punish his people, to take them into captivity. And you'll remember that this would happen this very year, the year 586 B.C., and they would remain in captivity for some 70 years before God would allow them to return. But on this pivotal day, the last months, the last weeks of the existence of Zedekiah and his kingdom, Jeremiah has spoken. And the message is this: oh, the Chaldeans have come. You have seen their armies. They have surrounded Jerusalem. And oh, you were scared. And oh, the despair that ran rampant through the city. And you heard about the Egyptians that have come forth to give battle. They, for their own political reasons, have sought to give aid. And though the Chaldeans have left to deal with the Egyptian threat, and oh, the cheers have risen in the streets, and oh, the people think the calamity that Jeremiah has prophesied about for so long has been skirted, it has been avoided. Do not be fooled. Do not be fooled. For they shall return, and God's judgment upon the people will come to fruition. And so it's during this time in which the Chaldeans have left, and there is once again seemingly a ray of sunshine for the people in Jerusalem, that Jeremiah goes out and he seeks to leave the city, and he is captured. And no doubt the prophet Jeremiah didn't have very many friends within the city of Jerusalem. And no doubt there were many enemies that wished to see him harmed or even dead, to see him humiliated, to see him done away with. And oh, the opportunity has arisen for the enemies of Jeremiah to act. And Jeremiah is taken by a guard to the princes who strike him, ridicule him, and throw him in prison. And there, brethren, brings us up to speed for the two verses that will be most, that we will be most concerned with here tonight. Let's read them, let's garner some wonderful application, and let us speak honestly and openly about the truth as we seek to find some application in our lives today. Jeremiah chapter 37 and verse number 16. When Jeremiah entered the dungeon and the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And oh, I can imagine, can't you, on that night, at Jeremiah, the pitiful state that he was, the prophet of God, as he was locked down in the dungeon, as no doubt he was dirty, no doubt he was tired, no doubt he was humiliated, no doubt he had been mocked openly, no doubt. This was on his mind as the guards came and got him and brought him under the cover of darkness. And he stood before the king Zedekiah, in his own house. The king who sought an audience with him, not in daylight, not where his the members of his courts would know what he's doing. Oh, no. He went to inquire from the prophet of the Lord, when nobody would know what he's doing. And oh, can't you picture that scene when Zedekiah breathes those words that are recorded here in verse number 17. Is there any word from the Lord. We can picture the scene in our mind's eye, can't we not? No doubt we can imagine the very thoughts that are going through Jeremiah's head as he stands before the king, and the king inquires about whether or not the Lord had sent a word. And don't you know, O king, that it is you who has time and time and time again displayed a mindset that has ever been dismissive of all that Jeremiah has to say. Oh, Jeremiah had pleaded and pleaded for days throughout your kingship, for years even, and you had not heeded his word. And even when the enemies of God's people, the Babylonians, come with all their military might, still you would not humble yourself before God. Still you did not care. Still you would not repent. Still you would not acknowledge that God had spoken. And how sad it is if Zedekiah had only stopped to realize what God was telling. Don't you know, Zedekiah king, that the law requires you? The law required in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20, that the king of the people of Israel, the king over the Jews, it was mandatory that they keep a copy of the law beside them, that they read it day and night, that they're familiar with all of its precepts, with all of its concepts, and all that God demanded so that they might lead God's people in a way that would be pleasing unto him. And yet you, O king, have not done so. And you think that God is going to be as fickle as you are. You think that you can throw Jeremiah down in the dungeon. You think that you can humiliate him. You think that you can do all the things that you've done and pull him into your house and stand before him with all your pomp, with all your panache, and with all of your arrogance. And you think God's word has changed. Has there been a word from the Lord? Jeremiah says there has. There has, O king. There has been a word from the Lord, and it has not changed. I am not at liberty to change God's word just because I'm a prophet, just because God has called upon me. I am not at liberty to alter it in any way, God's message of impending doom. And no matter what you do to me, King Zedekiah, either you or your lackeys, it will not change what God has said. God's word stands. It stands for you and it stands for me. And oh, you think that just because you're descended from a great people, from the Jewish people, and oh, you've built up for yourselves this idea of how elevated you are as a people in the eyes of other men, and you think that God's not going to possibly destroy you because of your lineage, because you're in David's city, because you have the temple within the city gates, you need to think again. For God's message of destruction has not altered. It has not altered. My goodness, what a powerful message. And brethren, that brings up a very important point that I wish to capitalize on here for the remaining few minutes that I have. And that is, there has been a word from the Lord. Just like Zedekiah, who refused to acknowledge it. Nevertheless, God's word stands. God's word stands. And I seek to make application to the New Testament Christian, to the individual today. Has there been a word from the Lord? You better believe it. And as I think about my own self, and I think about the events that has rocked my nation in the past year, and I think about all the things that have happened, I reflect upon days of my life that I can recall things happening. Where were you on June the 26th, 2015? Where were you June the 26th, 2015? I can tell you exactly where I was, for I can recall it vividly from my own mind, from my own memory. And I remember the White House lit up in the colors of the rainbow. And I remember seeing the streets full of thousands of people as they marched in their parades with their banners, with their pride displayed. And I remember as they all waited in anticipation for the Supreme Court to hand down their verdict for the case that sat upon their desks. And I remember the very moment in which it broadcasted across the news that they had ruled and that they now, it had become law within the United States for same-sex marriage. And I remember the reaction of those people and how people laughed and how they cried and how they kissed and how they hugged and they threw their arms up as the people were in open rebellion to God. And no president or law that Congress can enact will possibly change what God has already said concerning marriage. Don't you know that God has spoken? And He spoke on marriage a long time ago, an institution that's almost as old as man itself. From Genesis chapter 2 and in verse number 24, the rule is one man for one woman for life. God has spoken. And I know He's spoken on social issues, the issues that rock today. And people are all up in arms about racism and what the color of skin means and are institutions in and of themselves racist. And all the while, they don't realize that God has already spoken upon the subject. In Galatians chapter 6 and in verse number 10, we're to do good unto all men. We're to love people like God loves people. We're to see past white, brown, blue, pink, purple, and yellow. We're to love people, and in our quest to be Christ-like, we need to love as God does. I realize that God has spoken on law and order. I realize that He said in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authority. And oh, I know what people are doing. They're rioting and causing havoc and chaos in the streets. And all the while, God has spoken. And oh, people are worried here in the past month or so. Who's the president? Who's it going to be? What are we going to do? And don't you know what God said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7? That He has not given us a spirit of fear, nor of timidity. God is in control. God reigns. Don't you know that God has spoken? And as it pertains to abortion, the murder of innocents, and old people call it pro-choice, and old people like to use a whole lot of different terms to mask what is really going on. Don't you realize that God has revealed Himself upon the pages of the Bible? He has told us what He loves, and He has told us what He hates. And in Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse number 16, He relates to us that He hates man that sheds innocent blood. Over 60 million children have been murdered since 1972. Brethren, do not sit on the fence when it comes to God speaking. God has spoken. And here, people in this country, what are they worried about? They're worried about a shortage of toilet paper. When we need to be worried about the shortage of spirituality in our country, what does God think? And oh, people turn on television. And they get scared and they get worked up over subjects such as global warming. Oh, it's a topic of conversation, isn't it? Oh, the earth is getting warmer and warmer and disaster is coming in the near future. It consumes people. It's all they can think about. It's all they can talk about. And they don't ever stop to realize that years ago, God has already spoken about the warming of the globe. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse number 10, the Apostle Peter says, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Again, the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse number 8, speaking of the wicked, he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you ought to be concerned about global warming. That much is true. But it's not the global warming that you see on CNN. It's not the one that you hear about on MSNBC. It's not anything that Fox News has taken the time to report about. It's the one that God has spoken. The end of time, the judgment day, and the destiny of this earth and all of those that ignore His word. And brethren, and friends, I reflect upon this book that I hold in my hands, the Bible, as we call it. It's made up of 66 books. Those 66 books are comprised of 1,189 chapters. It's further divided into over 31,102 verses. It was written over a period of 1,500 years by over 40 different men from all walks of life. It is a gem. And within it, you will find no contradictions. You'll find the history of mankind. You'll find the instructions for life, the instructions for peace, and the instructions for salvation. Oh, yes. Concerning man's salvation, God has spoken. And I go to my Lord and Savior himself in John chapter 12 and in verse number 50. And he said these words. He says, "And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Oh, yes, God has spoken. He has spoken concerning everlasting life. Years later, the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2 in verse number 3, he says this, "Now we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." How do I know that I am justified in the sight of God? It's very simple. God has spoken, and only those that seek to be pleasing to him by hearing his words and fulfilling the commandments and the obligations that he has given to us. Have you obeyed? God has spoken. What has God said? You remember that Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh, he said in John chapter 8 and verse number 24, "For if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." You must believe that Jesus is Lord, that he came to this earth to seek and to save the lost. You must believe what he said about sin. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 1 and 2, that sin separates us from God. And you need to believe that he came to die on your behalf so that you might have access to the redeeming blood of the Lamb. And oh, I realize that there are those that say, "Believe, I believe. What more do I possibly need than belief?" And that is a tangle. A web of lies that has been spread. For even the demons do that. Look at James chapter 2 and verse number 19. The demons believe and tremble. You believe that there's one God, you do well. And you know what? You hadn't done anything more than the demons. And people that say that never stop to consider that hell, eternal, will be filled to the brim with the people that are believers. That's right. All will stand before God on that last day, and all will believe. They will all confess. They will all bend the knee. You must believe and obey all of God's commands. That system of belief, that system of faith, is described as a work. John chapter 6 and verse number 29. And I believe Jesus spoke well when he said in Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3, "I tell you no. But unless you all repent, you will all likewise perish." And oh, do not make any mistakes here. Repentance is not merely an apology. It's not simply saying you're sorry. It's not self-pity, and it's not tears shed. Repentance that God desires is a change of heart that brings about a change of action. Oh, that's right. Work is involved in true repentance. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 20. They should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. "That whosoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32. It's not private. It's not something that you can write on a letter and send it in. It's something that you've got to do publicly. And who can forget John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, concerning baptism? Our Lord spoke well to Nicodemus when he spoke of baptism, and he said that you must be born again of water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. Later, in the Great Commission, in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Some of the most important words that mankind needs to hear. No, you can't cut baptism out of the plan of salvation. It is baptism that saves, 1 Peter 3:21. It is baptism that washes away sins, Acts chapter 22 and verse number 16. And it is baptism that adds one to the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13. The body is the church, according to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. And if you skimp out on any of these, but if you leave baptism behind, remember, just remember what our Lord has said in Luke chapter 7 and verse number 30. The Bible says, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. You leave baptism, you've rejected the will of God. And some people will say, I have a problem with baptism. I don't think it's necessary. But let me humbly remind you, let me humbly say, that the problem that you have, it isn't a problem with baptism. It's not a problem with Brother Wiggins. It's not a problem with the preacher, with the Church of Christ. It's not a problem with anything that's been said in recent minutes. Not really. That's not your problem. It's much more deeper. The problem that that individual has is a problem with God and what he requires. You have a problem in your belief in the commands of God. God has spoken on salvation. And I simply would encourage you at the close of this lesson to humbly accept the commands of our Lord in all walks of life, in every area that the Word of God pervades and prevails, and not to allow yourself to follow the same mindset of that wicked King Zedekiah. A sad statement that's found in the Bible is in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse number 12. And the Bible reads like this. He did evil, that's Zedekiah, he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. Has there been a word from the Lord? There has. There has. And we speak forcefully just to garner your attention. We do not speak from a position of hate. We do not speak this way so that you might hold some resentment against us. We simply aim to speak the truth like it is printed upon the pages of the Bible. To New Testament Christians that are living here, listening here tonight, this is a call to righteous living. This is a call to being pure and set apart from the world. This is a call to holiness. Remember that God has spoken. And if you are not affiliated with the church here tonight, and if you are not a member of the Lord's body, please, please, please consider the things that are being taught, not only here tonight, but throughout the remainder of the week, as it pertains to man's salvation. We simply aim to know the truth, to love the truth, and to believe the truth. I want to thank Brother Tommy for the invitation here tonight. And I know that he would agree with me as I send out my plea that should you seek to render obedience to the gospel, let us know, and every available opportunity that can possibly be afforded will be made known to you. This is Brother Wiggins from Vidor, Texas, signing off. I bid you all a good night. Brother Tommy.
Wow. Man, we got a preaching in Vidor, Texas. Brother Wiggins from East Texas, my homeboy. I'm from Hillfield, he's from St. Augustine. Let me say this, Austin. You have done exactly what I wanted done tonight. You spoke the truth in love, and I know that for a fact. But not only as Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 asked God to give them, to grant them boldness, preaching. You did that. And I appreciate you so very much for that. Man, I'm excited. I was over here just excited about the message, and we appreciate you and your elders there and all those in the Vidor Church of Christ who are supporting our call. We have a lot of people on tonight from the 409 area code, and we appreciate you all. We hope you'll continue to join us each night and continue to support this nationwide gospel meeting. And boy, we've had a message from the Lord tonight from Brother Austin Wiggins. Now, to those who are not members of the Church of Christ, This is the way we believe in the Churches of Christ, that the Bible is right. And God has spoken. God has spoken, and His word is final and settled in heaven. And if you want to go to heaven, you know, you're going to have to just do what God said do. And that's what we're promoting on our call. That's why we're bringing all these different preachers on from all across our nation. All of us in the Church of Christ believe that the Bible has the final say as it pertains to saving souls. So if you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, listen carefully. I hope you take heed to what was said tonight. Listen to it. Think about it. If you've been listening to our call and you say, you know what, I've heard enough. I want to be baptized like we've had some do. We want you to get in touch with us. Go ahead and email us at thenationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. We make the arrangements for wherever you are to make sure you get baptized. Or if you want further studies, or if you have a question from Brother Wiggins himself, just go ahead and email us. I get that to him, and I'm sure, 100% sure, that he will be able to respond to you and answer any questions that you may have as it pertains to his message tonight. Now, if you want to go back and listen to him again, I encourage you to go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. If you go on there, you click on the Sermons tab, you see the Nationwide Gospel Meeting. We've had preachers like him since the month of May that are preaching these basic sermons about what one must do to save their soul. In a time like we're living in, as he said tonight, with all this going on in the world, when are people going to start listening to what the Bible says? Because the Bible is the Word of God. Is there a word from the Lord tonight? Yes, it is. You got to read it, though. And so we thank you so very much for being on the call. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son, whom you gave to the world. He gave his life, hung between the two thieves, the nails in his hands and his feet, shed the blood that will purchase his church, the bride of Christ, the Church of Christ. We thank you for his blood that will wash away our sins in baptism. And Lord, we pray for our listening audience tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ, that they have heard this truth tonight, to understand, as Brother Wiggins has said, we don't do this to be mean. We're doing this to inform people. Lord, help them to receive it now, to receive it with meekness, understanding they have a soul to be saved. And as in your word you said, through your Son, there will be a straight and narrow way. And he said, few that find it. Father, we're reaching for those few. We're preaching to reach those few. And we hope those few that are on tonight will take heed to your written word and obey it before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Father, we love you and we thank you. We pray your blessings upon our effort as we reach out to not only to the United States, but into Okinawa, Japan, and others who are listening tonight. We pray you will bless them to receive this word and obey it before it's eternally too late. Bless our efforts, Lord. Thank you for our brothers and sisters who are supporting our call, whether they're supporting it through calling in, supporting it financially, whatever they're doing, through prayer. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who love the simple truth to be taught. And if we ever needed to be taught, Father, we know it's right now. And we thank you for giving us this avenue, this way of reaching others through the phone line. Thank you for our friends and family, loved ones, who allowed us to come into their home through the phone. And now we just pray for them that they obey before it's too late. We love you, Father, and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, what a great night. This is off to a great night, great week. We're looking forward to a great week of gospel preachers coming on tomorrow. Brother Leandre Johnson, the son of Brother Rufus Johnson, he'll come tomorrow night talking about that there are biblical facts about the Lord's church. His father, his dad, out in DeSoto, Texas, he come with the salvation that is after the pattern. And Thursday night, Brother Rick Kenyon, the son of Brother Brian Kenyon, we had that father-son combination. Thursday, Friday night, Rick Kenyon coming with that I am with you. And then his dad going to close us out this week, Brother Brian Kenyon from Lakeland, Florida. That salvation is within your reach. Oh, you don't want to miss this. This is going to be a great week. I'm excited already, and I know you will. Please invite others. And we ask the members of the Church of Christ, let's load the call up. It's Thanksgiving. What a great week to get all of our friends and family members to listen to save their souls. You want to be thankful for something? Be thankful that the truth is going to be taught on this week that men recognize as Thanksgiving. For those of us who love the Lord, every day is Thanksgiving. But there are going to be families together. Put them around the phone. Put them on the speaker. Let them listen. And they should hear the truth this week. May God bless you all. Continue to support our call. And pray for us, please. And we're continuing to share the gospel. Carry the great commission given to us by our Lord. Take the gospel to all the world. May God bless you. Have a good night's rest. We love you. And we speak the truth in love. Good night.